My name is Brad Belote, Chairman of the PRSA Southeast District, welcoming you to our monthly best practice call. Got a lot to cover. Want to get straight to our conversation. Want to go over just a couple of things as we let folks file in here. Our nominating committee process for 2021 continues. We set Friday as the deadline. So if you or someone you know may be interested or qualified, or maybe just wants to know more information about serving on the PRSA Southeast District Board, certainly reach out to me, reach out to any board member that you know. You can go to our website for a full list of the board members, but we certainly would love to have you be part of the team for 2021 and perhaps beyond. Again, looking to get those submissions, recommendations in by Friday, so that we can continue with our process of putting together, assembling an awesome board for 2021. I want to mention some of the upcoming chapter events that are out there. As many chapters have, they've gone to all virtual, and this is an opportunity to explore some of the other programming that's out there across the country and across the district. Nashville has a program about diversifying customer bases. Georgia, about getting comfortable with complexity, leading through change. North Carolina talking about digital marketing, and the Tri-Cities hosting an event on fighting fake news. All of those have virtual elements to them, so check out those websites to learn more information and perhaps get yourself or your members registered. Do want to mention about some options that PRSA has during a time when there's a lot of uncertainty. We may have a lot of members who have declined to renew or are having a hard time making it work to renew in the upcoming months. PRSA does have a hardship program for those who are unemployed or temporarily can't make the payments, and that information is available on the PRSA website. There's also the quarterly payment program that would allow you to stretch some of those dollars out a little bit further than they otherwise would. Again, if you're in touch with your chapter members and you have some folks who may be at risk, this may be an option for them to keep their membership current. And now I want to get to today's topic. Jason Springer is the chair for the PRSA Midwest District, and Heidi Harrell, APR, is on the national board. They both were on the PRSA district council call last week, and that is an assembly of all of the district leadership across the country. And they had some very passionate and, I thought, very insightful things to say about PR's role and public relations role and PRSA's role in the ongoing national conversations that are happening across the country and in each of our communities, particularly in the Southeast District. And so I invited them to be here to share those thoughts and really begin what I hope is a dialogue and a conversation about what we as chapters can do in our own local communities to be positive influences in the conversation and hopefully drive some of that conversation to some good outcomes for everyone. So I saw that Jason was on. I haven't pulled up all the participant list, but Jason, please get us started.
Sure. Well, hello, everyone, from lovely, cold and windy Minnesota today. I am happy to be here. Thanks, Brad, for the invitation. I guess, want to keep this fairly open. Brad, I was on our district council call, talking about our experience here in the Twin Cities, most recently with regard to George Floyd, but also going back a little further to Philando Castile and other situations of police brutality and racism that we've faced here and we've seen here in the Twin Cities area, and trying obviously to figure out how we as PR people and strategic communicators and professionals, how do we lead a conversation about trying to improve not only our organizations and figuring out what the right thing is to say or the how we say things, but also how do we become a leader of the conversation going forward so that not only, we're obviously, leading, but we're also helping our communities heal and helping everybody become a little bit more shall I say, inclusive. I'm struggling for the right words because it's hard to know what the right words are at a time like this. But nonetheless, I mean, I think you are pretty well aware of what's been happening in the you know, it's not just here in Minnesota, but it's everywhere around the world. But especially here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and even in the suburbs, obviously there've been a lot of protests, a lot of unrest, some violent protesting going on, even so close to me. I'm in the suburb of Minneapolis, and we even had a situation a couple blocks from my home at a government center. So this is absolutely then the epicenter of things, but I would say it's definitely something that we're all feeling, and I think that's a good thing, right? I think we all, and I know I personally have been doing a lot of listening and thinking over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm a white guy from suburban Minneapolis, where over time, you know, there hasn't been a lot of diversity. And so I've definitely encountered that and been blessed to see more of that as I've gotten into my career and in my life. I went to, you know, at the University of Minnesota, there was much more than I grew up with, but I would be what you would call white privileged. I've grown up in a place where, you know, I have not had to deal with the problems that many people have and that we've heard a lot of stories about in the last couple of weeks. And so I'm trying to, even as we have this discussion like this, I'm definitely trying to come at it from I want to listen. I don't just want to be the person with all the answers, because I definitely don't think I have them. But I think part of us in our roles as leaders of PRSA, it's incumbent upon us as much as anything to listen and then to pull together the right people from the right perspectives that may be able to help us have the right conversations. So I guess as much as anything, that is what I want to try to maybe try to help all of you think through. One way in which we've done that, a little bit of experience that I've had around that, you know, 4 years ago when Philando Castile was shot and killed in Minneapolis, I was president of the Minnesota chapter. And at that time, what we chose to do was to host an event within a month, within 4 to 6 weeks of that event. And because at that point too, our community was reeling, and we as a country were starting to talk about these sorts of things again. But our community in particular was really hurting. Obviously it's on another degree of magnitude now, but many of the same feelings were around then. And so what our team wanted to do was pulled together a group of, we ended up pulling together a group in connection with the Greater Twin Cities United Way. We hosted an event at their offices, and we had probably 40, 50 people in the room. Our panel was our diversity and inclusion officer, and some of you may have them, some of you may not. We also had a journalist from a newspaper in the Twin Cities that focuses specifically on the Black community and covering news of interest to that community, based out of Minneapolis. We had a couple other people who have other particular perspectives on diversity that we thought were key to have on that panel. And again, the whole purpose of that event was to create a conversation. Again, from a professional standpoint, it's, you know, how do we bring more inclusivity into our organizations, and then how do we help lead our communities forward? What came from that, though, being at that event and then being part of the sharing that went on and the community building that went on, I thought was really fascinating, because it was fascinating in that there was obviously a lot of wonderful learning that went on and listening that could be done. But I was as I didn't expect to for there to be as much just commiseration and healing. I think as much as anything right now, and given that experience as a guide, I think people, what our members, what our community wants as much as anything is just to talk, to get together and listen to each other and hear perspectives and come together as a community. And then from that, a lot of other good things can happen. So when we had that event, we created situation. People showed up early and people stayed late. And like I've not seen at any other PRSA event we've ever had. And it was just talking. A few days ago, last week, somebody I met at that event called me. And we talked about what was happening with George Floyd and how the Minnesota community was responding. And it was another a follow-up on that, on just the talking of that. So I'm not sure if I'm being very eloquent, but what I want to say is I think part of the role that we have, a really important part of the role that we have as leaders of PRSA, is connecting people and allowing people the opportunity to get together and just talk about whatever's on their mind, and then listening and being as much of a connector and helping people activate whatever action comes from that. Because that's definitely one of the big learnings I had from that event. It wasn't just that we put on an event that we all learned about some different perspectives. It was that we all bonded a little bit more. And that has led to some relationships that I've found very enlightening and helpful throughout the last 4 or 5 years. I will leave it there for now. I'm happy to answer any questions any of you might have. Again, I sure don't have the answers myself, all of them. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts and Heidi, definitely from you as well.
Yes. First of all, Brad, thank you for inviting Jason and I. And of course, I want to give a shout out to my fellow board member, Denise Hill. You could not ask for a better representative in your district to serve on the board. How this all started is we were on the district council call, and I brought up, if you all have not read our chair Garland Stansel's statement regarding sort of what is going on in our country around the world right now, I certainly implore you to do so. But even more than that, and this is what Jason sort of challenged me as a national board member, and this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, is now it's time for action. But to get to that action is to have thoughtful, meaningful conversations. And one of the things I have suggested, because yet on the district call, there were several district chairs that their chapters were concerned on, should they have a chapter meeting? How do they go about discussing this? What's the right platform? And one of my suggestions, well, my first recommendation is yes. Encourage your chapters to have a special meeting about this. Because, we as communicators, not only are we having to work with our organizations on how we talk about this, whether it's to our clients, ourselves, internally, but it's a great way just to share and understand what others may be feeling or perceiving that could broaden your scope. With that, I highly recommend getting a diversity and inclusion moderator. I would strongly recommend Denise Hill if you do not have one in your chapter, because she would be fantastic. Because, as Jason said, and I'm a white woman. I have no business leading a diversity and inclusion discussion, but I want to be an active part in it. And I want to know what I can do to change the current dynamics that are happening in our country. And to me, that is so critical. If your chapter doesn't have a diversity and inclusion chair, this could be a great time to reach out and find someone so that you have someone that is dedicated within your chapter to really focusing on how you all can become more diverse and inclusive within your chapter. You know, these conversations are not easy. Denise and I were on a national board call last week, and you know, the national board has rolled out a diversity and inclusion strategic plan, which is great. But you know, even conversations get tense around these topics, and when emotions are high, having someone to kind of mediate and make sure the conversation is going in a healthy and productive manner is critical. And you know, Denise, you know, if there's anything you'd like to add, I mean, with your expertise, we as communicators have such an important job, and part of that job is finding the right words. And I think there's a lot of us that are really struggling right now to know what are the right words. And it eventually should come to action. What can we do? I mean, there's only so many statements people can make. There's only so many changing your Instagram, you know, logo to black. I mean, that's all great. That's, you know, that is showing support. But what else? What's the next step? You know, Oprah is doing a fantastic where do we go from here conversation. It started last night on all the Discovery channels, and it continues again tonight. And it's a very candid conversation with experts from around the country on what do we do now? What is next? And so, Denise, is there anything you'd like to add? To this?
First of all, Heidi, thank you so much for your comments, and Jason, they were excellent. So thank you very, very much for that. I agree with everything that Heidi and Jason said. And I just want to reiterate how difficult this is and for everybody. So this is not just a problem. And I think finally, and for unfortunate circumstances, the problem with racism and race relations, which go back to the founding of the United States and have never been resolved, those problems are not the problem solely of people who are impacted. So racism is not the problem of people who are Black or Hispanic, people of color, or the marginalized groups. The racism problem is a problem that we all have. It's a problem of human beings. It's a problem of humanity. And it won't be solved. It will not be solved by people of color. It needs to be something that all people, because it impacts all of us. And it has always impacted all of us, always. And circumstances have come together, and now a lot of people realize that, wow, I play a role in this as well. And Heidi brought up excellent, excellent points, because we have roles because we're human beings, so we're impacted as human beings, and then we have this powerful, powerful role as communicators. We have the ability and the skills to influence and persuade. Those are robust skills, and not everybody has those skills. So how are we going to use those skills? And then also, how are we going to figure out how to use those skills? Because as Heidi mentioned, it's really, really hard. So we may have the ability to influence and persuade, and we may be excellent writers, but because this issue is so intense and so dynamic and so sensitive at so many levels and so heartbreaking, that it is difficult to find those words. It is difficult to tap into what we know how to do, which is develop strategies and tactics to influence and persuade. So we have this double challenge of being communicators and this double challenge of being human beings and figuring out how this is impacting us as human beings and what we can do. And thank you, Heidi, for that. Determining what actions we can take and specific actions that go beyond just educating ourselves. I've seen, you know, there's a lot of reading of books now and watching of documentaries. That is important, and that is an important first step, and that didn't happen before, and that's why it's so important. So people are reading books that they would never have picked up before that other people have read a long time ago. So that part is important, but then beyond that, as Heidi said, what actions are we all going to take? And so I think one of the first things is to recognize the difficulty of where we are. And then we need to move past that recognition. And while we're educating ourselves, we should just not stop at the education or wait until we educate ourselves. I think we need to educate ourselves and take action at the same time. And then we also need to step back and pat ourselves on the back a little bit in terms of just so we're taking care of ourselves. Not pat ourselves on the back because we were unaware before or anything like that, but just make sure that we're taking care of ourselves as we're doing this and just acknowledging that it really, really is hard work. And then acknowledging that we may make mistakes with our thinking as we're going forward, but hopefully we are in a better place now to catch those mistakes of our thinking or to catch ourselves and saying, I didn't realize I thought that way. I didn't realize I acted that way, or I didn't realize I never even thought of this. So a lot of hard work ahead. If I can be a resource in any way, I am happy to do that. As a board member, I'm happy to be a resource. Heidi is happy to be a resource. And you heard how eloquent her comments are and how committed she is, not only as a human being, but also as a communications person and as a member of the PRSA board. So we are committed to doing this. This is not easy work. As Heidi mentioned, we had a board meeting we had conversations around diversity and inclusion, and those conversations have been difficult. And so you do have resources here to assist you and also assist you in terms of, we may not have all the answers, but we will stand by you and figure this out. And a lot of times that's what we need to do. We need to stand by each other and take somebody's hand. Well, not your hand, because you can't touch hands or anything like that anymore. And you can't even, virtually fist bump or whatever it is, or high five, just to say that, we are, yes. we just need to tap into our inner humanity and say, let's be here for each other and figure this out together and be gentle with each other and see if we can finally make some strides with this. And finally, I say, look at how old the United States is. This has never, ever, ever been resolved, ever. So I am hopeful that this might be a little baby step in the right direction, hopefully.
Well, and Denise, you're fabulous as always. And I really want to encourage you. It all starts at the chapter. You all as chapter leaders are absolutely critical, not only to the success of PRSA, but also in helping to start this conversation and helping to turn this tide and helping to figure out what can we do as communicators to not only help our fellow colleagues, but how can we impact our city, our organization, our state, whatever it might be. And I want to say thank you because, first you've got Rona and then, now you've got, the racism that has now bubbled up. I hate to say that the third R is probably going to be recession. Sorry to be Debbie Downer, but it's probably going to be the three R's, not the murder hornets. That was just a phase. but I just as leaders of our organization, it, you know, it really falls on you because you're the ones who have the closest connection to your chapter members. And you're the ones that can really make a difference in helping to either start a conversation. And it may not just be you, it may be, you know, again, getting someone who is educated in kind of fostering and dialogue and understanding emotions and making sure everything is healthy and productive. But, you know, we have an obligation, not only to ourselves, but to our members, to make sure we're okay. And make sure that if it's just listening, if it's just like Denise said, a virtual elbow bump, like now's the time for us to rally together. We are, you know, I've always felt like PRSA as a society, and even with my own chapter in my own district, it's just this sense of camaraderie. Probably because no one really understands what we do. I mean, my parents don't even know what I do. So, yeah, I mean, I see a lot of heads nodding, so y'all get me. But I just really encourage you to take that step to start the conversation within your chapter, and then figure out what can you all do as a chapter to change the dynamics.
Yeah, no, I just thank you, Denise. Thank you. I mean, you've said things probably better than I did, but I agree with everything. I just want to make sure that it's clear, right, that taking action doesn't necessarily have to equate to having an event. It can be, like Hattie said, it can be calling somebody you care about or somebody who might need to pick me up. I've always believed that leadership first and foremost is about supporting the people on your team and making sure that they know that you're there for them and leading by example, right? Being a servant leader. That's how I approach it. And that's how, especially a time like this, that's how I've approached Midwest District that I am the chair of. You know, I've been providing our district's leaders with just any of the, you know, the websites, you know, here's what you can do to learn about this, and here's what you can do about that. And if you have any questions, call me because I'm here to support you. And then some. I also think action can be, and this is from the professional side, right? We have seen a lot of, unfortunately, organizations communicating poorly in this. So we've seen people step in mud and plant right on their face. And we've seen organizations, even my own Minneapolis State or Minnesota State Patrol, Buffalo Police Department, you name it. We've seen lots of organizations being factually inaccurate about things and misrepresenting the truth. And, you know, that's exactly where we as leaders of PRSA have a really important role in advocating for truth, accuracy, fairness. These are central values to our society and our profession and our community at that. But I think it's incumbent upon us to also be calling for that and reiterating that this is what rule, you know, this is what values are important to us as communications professionals and then trying to live that out in our own work and showing examples of that. So, I mean, it can be a grand gesture. It can be holding an event. It can be, you know, calling this, you know, in my case, the Minneapolis Star Tribune and offering myself as a resource as they're putting together their coverage of these things. I mean, it can be any number of different things that we can do. But I think as much as anything, we should be advocating for the values we hold true as a profession. And I think that we should be listening and convening people to have conversations. As much as anything, I think those two things are really huge.
Thank you all. I would love to hear reaction, questions, comments from our chapter leaders, either what you've heard or what you may be, or your chapter may be responding with as part of this discussion.
Well, I want to say I enjoy everyone's comments. this afternoon. I've been taking notes because there are some things that I want to mention in the webinar. That by the way, I'm Milton, the Vice President and Programming Chair for the Memphis chapter. We're going to host at the end of this month. It's going to be PRSA Memphis chapter and the Memphis chapter of the National Black Journalists Association. And we're going to do a joint webinar together with a panelist of half PR, half journalist, and to have a kind of like a town hall meeting, open, having the conversation about it. And so it's kind of, you know, and the way we saw it was identifying, recognizing what the issue is, and then from there providing solutions and things that we can do. And I love, last name Hill, Denise Hill, what Denise said about, you know, we are PR professionals. We can influence things in this country. And, you know, and that's something. Change for the positive. So that's what we'll be doing in Memphis at the end of this month.
Hey, Milton. So I'm based out of Little Rock. So I'm just right down the road from you.
Just down the road. Just
a little hour. 540.
Yes.
Milton, will that be Milton, a webinar?
Yes, it will be a webinar.
Okay, so all of us could join that. Yes. I would love to see that.
Yes, yep, yeah. I'll share the email, the link once it's up live in the next few days, and you guys can feel free to share it with whoever you would like.
Thank you.
Well, and Milton, I would also encourage you to send it to Karen Mann, who is our Chief Communications Officer at PRSA National. She's always looking for these type of chapter or district events to promote nationally. So if you can handle the Zoom bandwidth, I would definitely, it's Karen Mateo, Karen.Mateo. At PRSA.org, and she would, as soon as you got all the details, so that way she can also push it out on a national level.
Got it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Houston. I am the secretary of the Georgia chapter, and we've been having a lot of discussions as an executive committee about where we stand as a chapter and what we can do to both think about short-term and long-term, what are some actions that we can take. So there are a few things that we have committed to that I would, you know, just like to share with the group. Last year, the PRSA Foundation held a Diverse Voices event in Atlanta. And so last year, as part of that, we gave two scholarships to students of color, and one was $1,000 and one was $500. And so we have committed to continuing that scholarship this year. We are going to be recruiting two interns to work with our chapter. We did some surveys specifically around COVID and how it was impacting our chapter. And one of the really heartening things that we saw from that survey was that the overwhelming majority of our members did not plan to continue their internship programs. And so that was really because we know that the foundation of the profession begins with internships. And so we are committed to having not one, but two chapter interns that we'll work with. And we're committed to one of those being a person of color. We have a lot of really great diverse institutions here in Atlanta that we can, and around Atlanta, because we are the Georgia chapter that we can recruit from. We are also looking going forward from more long-term, kind of looking at our own house. Does our executive committee and our board, are we reflective of the profession? Are we reflective of Georgia? And the short answer is no. And so we know we need to do a better job with making sure that we have a pipeline that is more reflective and better representative of who our members are and who we want to be. And also, we are now going into long-term strategic planning for 2021 to 2023. So this is a moment where we will make sure that this isn't something that we have one committee or one person thinking about, that diversity and inclusion and equity is built into our strategic plan for the next few years so that it becomes something that is more long-term, that isn't a flash in the pan, that isn't of this one moment. So that is what we are doing in Georgia.
Does anyone have anything else? Brad had to jump off the call. All right, then I will turn you guys loose to your afternoons. I'll just remind you that we have a July 8th best practices call. It's also going to be on diversity and inclusion. It's going to be a case study from the Charlotte chapter. So I look forward to seeing everybody then.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.